You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. In Detroit, there are all kinds of artists and art projects happening organically. But the city of Detroit really doesn't have a vehicle to encourage or develop an arts culture. One of the arts and culture leaders would like to see that changed. Anya Sirota is an assistant professor of architecture at the University of Michigan's Taubman School of Architecture. So what role do you think the city of Detroit, the government, should have in developing an arts culture in the city?
Well, it's unquestionable that art and culture is an attractor for the city, and it gives it an incredibly unique vibe. It brings interest, it brings tourism, but it also creates a sense of place that's unlike any other. It makes communities proud of their heritage, of their sense of identity, and I think it's really a driver for the future of the city as it sort of reestablishes and recreates its contemporary identity.
Well, like I said, there's a lot happening organically. I mean, there's an exciting time for a lot of artists in the city. What do you think the government, the city government, could do or should do to help develop that?
Well, so many people are working independently and individually. And very often, artists are feeling that their creative practices could be instrumentalized for economic redevelopment, for the kind of construction of the identity of place. But there are no institutions in place currently at the government level to protect the artists' interests. For example, the Detroit Culture Council, which is a very informal group of artists leading the charge in trying to kind of catalyze the network of interested artists in asking for or imagining a new arts council in Detroit that might represent some of their interests.
Do you think it would include some tax money support that way, or do you see this office as just creating an atmosphere that's conducive to artists and art?
Well, definitely resources are always a question, and where those resources come from is a question that needs to be decided at a civic level. There are lots of models that we can look to. So in some instances, arts councils are funded primarily through sales tax, for example, in the European model. Some are funded through other tax resources. Some are funded through foundations. I think Detroit will need to invent its own model for imagining sort of the most diverse, pluralistic, and civically minded version of an arts council that could benefit everyone.
I'm glad you mentioned foundations because there's a fair amount of support for arts projects from private foundations. I just covered several that Kresge is involved in. Why do you think the city needs to get involved in the mix since there is that kind of philanthropical support?
There is an incredible amount of philanthropic interest in Detroit, and it's coming from multiple sources. There are arts advocates at the Knight Arts Foundation, at Kresge, and a plethora of other foundations, including Art Place America and others. There's a sense that maybe that arts funding is finite. It's going to sort of run its course.
Right. Grants are always temporary.
Grants are temporary. We need to think about a sustainable model for envisioning a way to create a security net for all of that creative practice, which attracts so much attention to Detroit.
Let's talk about how the city is treating artists now. I mean, it's not been welcoming to certain groups of artists, such as graffiti artists. Charges were filed against graffiti artists, most notably the world-famous Shepard Fairey. Even some businesses have been fined, ticketed, because of graffiti on their buildings. So it doesn't seem the city's all that open to some expressions. How do you get past something like that?
Well, I think that's a really good point, and one of the reasons why the Arts Council, or the idea of an Arts Council, is so important in Detroit, which is we need an advocacy group to express and explain to a broad audience what contemporary architecture and art practices and design practices look like, so that we can identify, you know, the difference between tagging something and creating an expressive work of art. Sometimes those are hard to identify.
Art is in the eye of the beholder.
Right, but we need to support those kinds of practices because they give such a unique identity and vibe to Detroit and a sense of place. So we need arts advocates to make a case and decriminalize some of this activity so that our murals and our artworks and our street art continues to be a cultural attractor.
You're proposing city government get involved in the arts community and support it at a time when the atmosphere in government is basically, and I'm not talking about Detroit, I'm talking about more broadly, that, you know, it's not government's business to be supporting the arts. Government shouldn't be involved in picking winners or losers, whether it's business or art.
Of course, it's challenging. But in the history of American art, I think government has always been a critical part of the equation. Obviously, the market has been an incredible driver for arts practices in the U.S., but governance has always played a critical role in making a case in advocating for the arts in communities and for the arts in redevelopment. And I think, like, especially as Detroit redevelops, a city that's 83% African American, that has a very strong cultural identity, we need to make sure that the deeply rooted cultural activity is protected as the city changes.
What would be the first thing you'd want to see from a City of Detroit arts and culture entity?
The folks that are involved in the Detroit Culture Council, which is an informal organization with lots of different interests, might have very different answers to this question. From my perspective, I think that Detroit is ready to look forward and look outside of the bounds of its own metropolitan area and to sort of step on the international stage. I think it's time that we could think that Detroit could think about a kind of international biennale and to get involved in public discourse about arts, creativity, creative production with other cities globally and think about more broad issues rather than focusing entirely on itself.
What kind of overtures have you made to City Hall or to Mayor Duggan about this idea?
There's been a letter that's been issued to Mayor Duggan. We haven't received a response yet.
I was going to ask, did you get a response?
That's not just yet, yes. But there's also a petition that you can sign. So there are ways that you can show support for this idea.
What do you do in the meantime?
In the meantime, we continue to have meetings and cultural programs and sort of uplift and illustrate the breadth of incredible creative activity that's happening in Detroit currently.
That's the one thing that occurs to me. There is so much happening right now across the city in the neighborhoods. I mean, it's not like just an idea of a statue of RoboCop in downtown or something like that. There's a lot going on by citizens in the neighborhoods. What would an arts and culture office offer those folks?
Well, first of all, these projects are very difficult to locate for people who are new to the city or for people who are not familiar with the breadth of neighborhoods and the breadth of cultural activity that's currently happening. Having an office or a space where people could quickly get to know some of those critical projects and programs could unify the network of artists currently operating in Detroit. I think that kind of broadcast and visibility would be incredibly powerful. It would be a powerful tool for locally rooted redevelopment.
Anya Sirota is an assistant professor of architecture at the University of Michigan's Taubman School of Architecture. She and several other artists in Detroit think the city ought to create an office of arts and culture to help develop the artists who are already there and bring it to the neighborhoods as well.
That's
Thanks
right.
very much for coming in.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.